Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, folks, we're live. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to try to control myself and get to most, if not all, of this important news that I have in front of me today. And to try to be calm and not get too excited so that I can engage in some higher brain function here and actually break down some of the subtle nuances of what we face in this society. It is Tuesday, the 18th day of January, 2011, and we've got Dr. Andrew Wakefield joining us in studio in the last hour. He's an Austinite. And of course, the media has been demonizing him for years, claiming he's the only person to ever make a link between vaccines and brain damage. They have a cover name for it, autism. The whole basket of disorders and problems. And they keep hoaxing and claiming that he's been discredited and proven to be a fraud. Then when you read the fine print, they admit, well, we can't replicate his study. Or, well, he used his own patients. A lot of people use their own patients in studies. It's very similar to the hoax we saw a few weeks ago claiming that the shooter in Tucson was a conservative. And that free speech was to blame, or that this radio show or my films were to blame. Just another hoax. And they do this constantly. They just make declarative statements. And this is a big deal, because when you look at even the British government this year, now last year, 2010, after the flu season of 09-10, they came out and said a tenfold increase in seizures in children that have taken the flu shot. And that was London Telegraph, BBC, you name it. And a massive increase in narcolepsy, a massive increase in people getting different disorders, seizure disorders, directly connected to the vaccine. Well, what is Dr. Wakefield saying? Dr. Wakefield is saying in his studies it showed that it's causing some type of autoimmune response in the brain, which is what Dr. Russell Blaylock, brain surgeon, has said here, and countless others from their own research and other research that's been done by prestigious organizations. So what they'll do is they will cherry pick one doctor to single them out and claim it's all discredited, so they can just say, hey, doesn't matter if it was 1 in 25,000 people in 1980 getting autism, and now it was 168 a few years ago. Now they're saying it's 1 in 87. They're saying it could be 1 in 50 if the trend continues. Then if it continues on, it's exponential, hyperbolic. It'll be 1 in 10. And then they spin it and say, oh, this is overdiagnosis. This is children making it up. And certainly there are psychologists and psychiatrists and neurologists and people who will just take a kid that's got some quirks and call it autism, when really, they're just eccentric or have something like Asperger's. Which is, again, just a scientific name for a certain type of, individual who kind of focuses in on things myopically. They're putting labels on everything. Some of it's got some truth to it. A lot of it doesn't have truth to it. But the issue is, let's say there's some overreporting. That doesn't give you from 1 in 25,000 to 1 in 168, or 1 out of 2,000 to what we see today. And you go to the park, you go to public places, there are kids who are so autistic they're not even in this reality all over the place. They're not faking that. Okay, we'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Another broadcast, another transmission. It is Tuesday, the 18th day of January 2011. The founder of the Eagle Forum, conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly, will be joining us for the last 30 minutes of the next hour today. I saw a Fox News article yesterday about how, you know, the Tea Partiers are being taught their place by the mainline Republicans. And Cheney is saluting Obama for learning the ways of Bush. And it's reportedly going to be business as usual, and the Democrats and Republicans coming together to fleece the American people with a value-added tax on top of the income tax and all the carbon taxes and the rest of it. More and more, it looks like the Republicans might try half-heartedly to repeal government takeover of health care. They'll lie about it and say it's communist and socialist, which would be bad when really it's fascist written by the insurance companies. If Republicans actually told the truth, like Ron Paul does, and said this was written by the insurance companies, corporate fascism, the left would shut up and the right would have an epiphany and realize that mega corporations are the ones creating and financing the big government to give their oligopolies and monopolies and combines power to consolidate vertically. But the Republicans are saying, yeah, we're going to try to repeal the communist health care in the House. And I get to hear the neocon talk show host every day saying Obama's a Marxist and he's a communist. Not in the sense that these conservatives are claiming. They don't want to take your property and distribute it to the poor. They want to take your property and give it to themselves. They want you to be a feudal serf, and they've got an army of domesticated welfare people who they now recruit to be TSA and police officers and spies. That's where they're getting their recruits, and military people who are trained as attack dogs to sick the middle class. Sick gun owners, sick someone with a cowboy hat on, sick crackers, as Chris Matthews would say, crackers are bad. White people are inherently evil. I mean, it's all a system where the police are trained. Blacks must all be criminals. Get them. White crackers are evil. Get them. You know, just everybody's evil. But your loving bankers up on the mountain, way up above us in the heights, lovingly making the grass grow, making the sunshine each and every single day. So Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who they're trying to demonize and discredit, he is an academic gastrointestinal doctor, and he did amazing research that's been proven to be correct over and over again, dealing with autism and autoimmune response and these antibodies in the intestines of the autistic children that he tested. We've had so many other medical doctors on to back up what he, a medical doctor, is saying as well. They're doing this big hoax right now to try to discredit him, claiming he's been discredited with no proof. British researcher Wakefield defends link between vaccines and autism. British researcher holds true to his study despite claims of falsified data. Remember Gary Webb? He went to the hearings of Ricky Ross and others. It came out that the CIA was shipping in the narcotics. Later, the government had to admit that in the 1997 CIA hearings in Congress with the CIA Inspector General. There's just countless cases of aircraft crashing run by the U.S. government filled with heroin and cocaine. Now in the year 2010, 2011, they admit on Fox News that our troops give the fertilizer to the Taliban to grow the opium, and record levels are pouring out. But they gave the Pulitzer Prize to Gary Webb. They gave him the Pulitzer Prize. Then they ran this hoax saying he had lied and he'd been discredited and not all of his research was right. And then the San Jose Mercury News got rid of him. So he was writing the magnum opus on the subject with even more proof. And he was telling me, I'll come on your show soon, Alex. I'll come on your show soon. I've got all the proof. It's incredible. And they came to his house and shot him twice in the head. And he told Ricky Ross on the phone to him in prison. He told his friends his house was being broken into. He'd move because of it. He'd come home and men in suits would be climbing down the drainage pipe from his two-story house. And he told Celia Castillo that, former DEA agent, he told others that. And then the usual suspects went on air and said, oh, it's quite normal to shoot yourself twice in the head. And Celia Castillo and Ricky Ross, they're lying. He didn't say that. He lived in a one-story house. Spinning the fact that he'd moved because of the break-ins to another town from the two-story to the one-story. See, they always play little semantical games, counting on you not paying attention. They always play these little games, with things. So ignore the forest of evidence. They'll go and show you one fallen over tree that you never even talked about and discuss, oh, look at it, it's fallen over. Is this little area really a forest? It's kind of a small 100-square-foot meadow here. He's lying. We're not in a forest. We're in a meadow. And you're like, but we're in a forest here, and this is a tiny meadow within the forest. See, they play little semantical diversion games, distraction games with people, and it works like a charm. And so I can't tell you how many neocons and people sent me emails over the year of comments going, oh, Gary Webb, that was discredited. None of it was discredited. None of it. What did Popular Mechanics do? They came out and did their debunking and said there was only one interception of a jet aircraft in the year preceding 9/11/2001, September 11th. And I was going through their book on debunking, and it was just all disinfo. But on that one point, I even called into a talk show that the head of Popular Mechanics was on, James Meggs, because he will not come on this show or any other show and debate. He has to have it, you know, be a one-sided, his side only, because he can't debate. And I said, here's the Reuters article. Here's the date where the spokesman for NORAD, the Air Force major, 4 months before 9/11 gave a press conference. Here's another article and gave the headline where he, 8 months before 9/11, gave a speech and bragged about the 156 times that they'd intercepted aircraft in the year before, including Payne Stewart. And you say it only happened one time, that it was Payne Stewart, and that the Air Force rarely intercepts, and that the fact that the jets were launched late and told to fly at almost stalling speed, the point is, they just put out a book saying that there had been one interception in the year before when there had been over 150. And they just state these things like they're facts, like we're supposed to just accept it and receive it, and they're counting on us doing that. Or a lot of times they'll just ridicule. They'll say, I think it's kooky to think that fluoride is bad for you. You know, it's in comedies, it's in movies, it's in dramas where the crazy bad neighbor who's evil or a child abuser or a terrorist is into things being in the water. I mean, I can't tell you how many TV show plots I've seen clips of on YouTube where they're looking for the mastermind who wants to launch the bio attack in New York, and they find out it's a crazy professor who's concerned about chemtrails and fluoride in the water, and so he's a crazy man who wants to blow up children. And it doesn't even make sense. It's just the message is, if you are warning people about poisons in the water and food, you want to blow up children. It's just nonsensical, mindless propaganda at a bestial level. But I am digressing. I'm going to come back and get into the news. I just thought I would talk about Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who's going to be in studio with us today. Look forward to that. I've interviewed him several times over the years over the phone, but now he's going to be in studio with us today. And I know he's been doing national TV rounds. He just kicked off yesterday. What was he on yesterday? Good Morning America. But this won't be sound bites. He'll be able to really break down this hoax. I mean, they've been saying this about him for years, and They say he's discredited. He launched a hoax. And you read the article. Well, there's a few questions about some of the ways he conducted the test. They don't even really say what. They just say he's discredited. Oh, Gary Webb, a Pulitzer Prize winner. He's discredited. If memory serves, though, they didn't take his Pulitzer Prize. But you know, here we are 12, 14 years after his Pulitzer Prize and the big firestorm that caused and all the other investigative reporters, you know, publishing their reports. They sure got him, didn't they? They said he was discredited and they shot him twice in the head with a shotgun. Man, I mean, I hope they don't blow up my car in my front yard and the police are so corrupt that they tell everybody, oh, his car just caught on fire, like that woman in D.C. a week ago ahead of the big energy merger. Or Benazir Bhutto, they machine gun her on national TV, and it's all over the foreign press, her being shot, but our news says she fell and hit her head. That's what they think of us here in this country. And I think of all the other hoaxes they run, where they murder people. And remember all the Clinton people who would get shot repeatedly and they'd be found with their arms and legs and in some cases heads cut off in trash dumps in one case. And the Arkansas medical examiner, Fami Malek, would rule it a suicide. And this is all part of just setting the precedent that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, right out in the open, and nothing is done to them. Okay, coming up, NASA's Hansen says impose Chinese totalitarianism on America. We've got the Stuxnet virus attack. Russia warns of Iranian Chernobyl. We've got this David Rockefeller video by a great InfoWars listener there in Chile. We want to salute them. That's coming up. In this short segment, I'm just going to read headlines coming up the next. I'm going to dive into them, get into this incredible confrontation in Chile by a YouTube blogger with David Rockefeller coming in from the airport with the big media magnate who owns the biggest share, from what I read, of South American media, Mr. Eastman. And it's David Rockefeller in a wheelchair, the grand overlord of the New World Order, who does start to, he is looking like he's getting a bit senile, laughing at the guy while he screams at him, we're not your slaves. We know you want to carry out eugenics and population reduction. We know that you're into all of this tyranny. Get out of Chile. You will fail. You will fail in English and Spanish. Beautiful. And then I was heartened to see when I went to his YouTube channel that he's got translated into Spanish a whole bunch of my films and my show. A lot of folks do that in Chinese, Spanish, German, Japanese, Russian. I salute all of you, and we are all brothers and sisters together across the world for liberty and freedom against the global corporate board. So the most amazing confrontation footage I've ever seen with David Rockefeller or any other globalist for that matter. We Are Change has done a great job with Luke. You know, I've done it from a distance at Bilderberg, but this was powerful. This was the grand slam, the hole-in-one, the royal flush, whatever you want to call it, I've never seen better. The next most powerful would have to be We Are Change Chicago, who absolutely dominated and owned, to use a internet parlance or nomenclature, owned Al Gore a few years ago. And of course, that's had over 1 million views on YouTube alone. Okay, I said I'd get to the news, and I started already getting into that video that's coming up. And then a really creepy PBS trailer for Frontline, getting into something we told you about 10 years ago, but at least now they admit it. How the face scanning cameras tie into the license plate readers, they've gone up nationwide, and they're now introducing this to the slaves. Remember, more than 14 years after I exposed, because it was public, the Telecommunications Act dealing with spy networks, spy grids, how they were listening to all our phones, emails, faxes, with AI keyword systems, with no warrants. Frontline a few years ago had a big special, and it was breaking. It was groundbreaking. It was, oh, my goodness gracious, gumdrops. Bush is so evil. Obama comes in, slams the pedal all the way down to the floor, and the left goes, rendition, secret torture, torturing people's kids in front of their parents, expanded wars. We love it. It's like Ron Silver reportedly when Clinton was getting sworn in 93. Was by Hillary going, look at those planes. Look at that military. What are they doing flying over here? And she's like, relax. We run things now. Those are our planes. And Ron Silver went, ugh. That was actually in the newspapers. He was, you know, the press saw it and wrote it down. He was, what are they flying jets over? That's the enemy, U.S. military. Just so anti-American, anti-military. And Hillary's like, don't worry, Ron. We've taken over. Those are ours now. I digress. Here is Dick Cheney from The Hill today. Cheney, Obama has learned that Bush policies were right. President Obama has learned from experience that some of the Bush administration's decision on terrorism issues were necessary, according to former President, Vice President Dick Cheney. I had a Freudian slip. He was the president. So we're going to be getting into some of that. If anybody had any doubt that WikiLeaks is a CIA front, Julian Assange may be a useful idiot. In fact, I believe he is. But if there was ever any doubt, this new Tunisian stuff, targeting Tunisia and the WikiLeaks, now they're going to release 2,000 prominent rich people who've got Swiss bank accounts. And you better believe George Soros isn't going to be on the list. He's heavily involved financing WikiLeaks through his right-hand man who basically runs it. And they're now going to burn some, you know, low-level billionaires and millionaires. And that's all part of the OECD global movement to gut the Swiss bank accounts of the lower-level nouveau riche. And because that's an official UN policy, and he always follows UN State Department policy. So ex-banker says he's giving WikiLeaks files on the rich. Remember, almost a year ago, our inside sources said it would be banking by the end of it. See, they can't have NSA or NATO or Infopol 9 stuff they've recorded and all the data and all the know your customer. The government's got live access to all your bank accounts in live time. That's now admitted. They can't just release it to burn their enemies. It has to be leaked by the traitor Assange, or for some, the hero Assange. And then they juxtapose it in their psychological warfare model to then use Assange to also crack down on free speech on the internet. So then you're forced to support Assange in what he's doing, even though it's the CIA, because within their master template, if you don't support him, then they have a victory against free speech. See the mastermind control?
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
There's no easy way out, folks.
Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground,
and I won't.
And I won't back down.
Okay. Let me just do this, and I've never succeeded. I always say I'm going to read every headline to get an idea of what I'm seeing every day and then go back into it, but I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to start back over where I was. Cheney, Obama has learned that Bush policies were right. The Hill. AP, ex-banker says he's giving WikiLeaks files on the rich. Swiss lawmakers angry at alleged U.S. spying program. Julian Assange vows to reveal tax details of 2,000 wealthy people. Yeah, outsiders. Continuing. NASA Hansen imposed Chinese totalitarianism on America. With the actual quotes, PrisonPlanet.com, Kurt Nemo. Here's the Washington Times, same story. China-style dictatorship of climatologists. NASA's Hansen prefers rule by decree to fight global warming. That is the new official talking point by literally thousands of these academics. These people are authoritarians. Continuing, Bill Gates wants to register all babies on planet for vaccines so that forced vaccination can be carried out to save them, of course. Continuing here with the news, Sudan next to succumb to Bernanke's inflationary experiment as country threatens revolution over surging food prices. Fox News, traveling man's gun arrest appealed to Supreme Court. They admit in this article that his gun was completely legal, but that the police still took it and still arrested him. And that ties into some other news I have here where they're just arresting people who neighbors see with guns. And it's always the same, a deer rifle, a shotgun, a handgun. Repair people in your house, the police come, you go to jail, they hyperventilate in press conferences, showing 1,000 rounds of ammo, the police going, look, it's dangerous, look at the ammo. And you've got these pop head zombies out there that go, guns in a slave's hand, and then they go to jail with no crime committed. I mean, that's what I'm talking about here, okay? I said I'd just read the headlines. Look at these financial headlines. States warn of $2 trillion pension shortfall. CNBC. Without aid, Detroit school district may close half of its schools. That's the entire city, Detroit public school system. Detroit News. China is lending and it hits new heights. Again, China's lending hits new heights as they buy up the planet. Here's another one, a strategy to straddle the planet, Financial Times of London. Oil prices over 100, not unrealistic. Iran. Obama wants to shed rules that hurt job growth. That's kind of like they wanted to build a border fence that they never intended to build. Just all talk. Yeah, his carbon taxes will really get the economy going. Missiles off target in major Taiwan drill. Is the Fed broke? Economic Policy Journal. The Fed is only the receivership arm of the OECD, the Organization of Cooperative Development, of Economic and Cooperative Development, and it itself is just a bankruptcy receivership arm. It bankrupts the nation while transferring the assets through the membrane to the global shareholders. So, no, we're broke, not the Fed. They've carried out the fraud successfully until we bring them to justice. Debt bondage, the economic treason of the banks, Bob Chapman. And it just continues from there. Here's some other important headlines. Hu Jintao set for lavish White House reception on state visit as he openly crows that the end of the dollar is nigh. The media lavishes and praises the authoritarianism. Continuing, Stuxnet virus attack. Russia warns of Iranian Chernobyl and says that the country may have a Chernobyl-style disaster. Russian nuclear officials have warned of another Chernobyl-style nuclear disaster in Iran's controversial Bashar reactor because of the damage caused by the Stuxnet virus, according to the latest Western intelligence reports. Then we have, of course, another report dovetailing with that. Cyber attacks could cause global catastrophe. Coordinated attacks on critical computer systems could create a perfect storm with catastrophic global effects, a study found today. And guess who issued the study? And when they issue a study and directives, when they call for homeland security to be set up in every Western nation, when they call for federalization of schools, when they call for forced inoculations, when they call for global gun banning and gun control, when they call for higher taxes or a sales tax, you hear your politicians start jumping up and down. When they call for an NAU-SPP merger, North American Union, you start hearing the globalists push it. Who in this London Telegraph article tells us of the dangerous Stuxnet? Well, thank goodness. It's the OECD, who no one ever wants to discuss. The UN is just a little ceremonial debating society that's like one room in a giant palace of the OECD. A succession of multiple cyber attacks could become full-scale global shock. You know the Pentagon's setting up the grid to do this, and actually in their own war plans they admit it. They war game taking the web down to know how to protect it. Oh, of course. They have to take it down before they initiate it under new Internet 2 with Internet ID, Internet taxes, and everyone will have to have a subdomain name on 100 corporations, 50 universities, and government websites. There'll be a spectrum of subdomains on Internet 2, and you will sign up with the licensure agreement waiving all of your rights. I mean, I knew this 8 years ago because it was all spelled out by the globalists at Internet 2 symposiums, and I'm the type of guy that'll sit around reading hundreds of pages of it. So it's all being prepared. But they're only doing it because of Stuxnet, the OECD that takes over the third world countries, that took Europe into receivership at the end of World War II. The Ex-Im Bank, the IMF, the World Bank are just subsidiaries of it. The Federal Reserve is a subsidiary. A succession of multi-cyber attacks could become a full-scale global shock on par with a pandemic and the collapse of the world financial system. Oh, you're going to lose your bank account and your pension because of the internet and the cyber attackers. We've got, can you imagine every pensioner, every person with their bank account screwed up, demanding that the government do something? You know, when you find out about data loss, over 80% of it, this is all admitted, is big banks. And the guy running the credit card machine there at the gas station, getting the numbers, and then he emails it or faxes it to his cousin in Pakistan or India or China or Eastern Europe, you know, all the famous places where they do it, Russia, Nigeria, and then they run scams with your credit cards. That's most of it. But notice the media is always, it's the internet, it's the internet, it's the internet, it's the internet doing it. Then you'll learn Bank of America gives away 3 million of its customers' data. And the whole system's designed, and the government builds all these back doors by law through Microsoft where this is all done so that we're going towards the thumbprint face scan to buy and sell. And they've announced it a few years ago, and it's now in the operating system. You can pull it up. Microsoft, its new versions, have Internet ID built in. And you can pull that up. And how is it going to be? Keyboards with a thumbprint. And for web transactions, a digital photo to authenticate. That'll fix all the problems. It'll also track everywhere you go and what you do. And Bill Gates is calling for all children of the world to be enrolled in this global biometric system. And don't think you're just going to wear a mask. When you go through the body scanner, they get your 360 body scan. So now they have passive cameras that shoot radio waves like sonar through your clothes and scan your body at even hundreds of yards away, they admit in Wired Magazine. The intel I've got is they've got satellites that do it now, not just off your heat resonance, not biometric from a face scan, a heat resonance from your shoulders and the top of your head, but also off of your walk. They have a biometric calculation between the shoulders, the elbows, the knees, the feet, and the movement of the head. And off of that triangulation calculation, they have 100% biometric scan off of your walk from satellite. That's confirmed. But you notice the Germans just got caught 3 weeks ago. Oh, I'm afraid they didn't launch all those new satellites to track global warming. It was a government, U.S. government, NATO deal. They are image infrared biometric scanners to identify personnel on the ground. So I said I'd read through some of the headlines. That's quite a few of them, but here it is. Cyber attacks could cause global catastrophe. The Organization for Economic and Cooperation and Development said, contingency plans to recover systems should be put in place, and cybersecurity policy should encompass the needs of all citizens and not just central government facilities. Well, that sounds like they want everybody to be safe. Well, when you read the Cybersecurity Act, which is a mirror image of this, just like the Food Safety Act says, in the Farm and Food Safety Act, it says Codex Alimentarius, UN implementation of treaty. Well, when you read what the OECD and the UN's calling for, it's exactly what is in the admitted Cybersecurity Act, where it says IT companies that serve 100 or more customers must get government certification and have government hardware placed in their chain to monitor for security threats. And what did this just say? Oh, the government has got to protect you, and you've got to upload all your personal data and protect it in a government cloud computing access system. Mm-hmm. See, everything now is going to be terminals that tie into this big server CDN system where you've just got your own little tablet and you won't even be able to buy a tower at the stores. You can try to special order one. You can try to keep servers in your business, in your office, but the web is now being engineered, this is all admitted, where your stuff won't even be able to access in the near future the new systems they're rolling out. And they say, if you don't want to go along with the changes, that's fine. You can live in some type of digital ghetto, is the term they use. Remember that program that they produced in England for children showing them the future, where you only get meat on your birthday, everything you do is tracked, you have a travel allotment, everything is surveilled. This is what's being taught now. Total authoritarianism. All these government officials from Al Gore right down to Hansen, the head of the Goddard Space Center, saying, we want authoritarianism. We're going to have one child. This is it. We're doing it for your own good. And don't look for the Republicans to fire him. No. They're now getting their power back, and so they are going to enjoy the spoils. Now, there are some good people in there. The numbers of patriots are growing, but don't think overnight this is all going to be reversed. We've got to stay angry, stay focused. Again, that encompass the needs of all citizens, not just central government facilities, the report said. What should concern policymakers are combinations of events, two different cyber events occurring at the same time, or a cyber event taking place during some other form of disaster or attack. In that eventuality, the perfect storm conditions could exist. And so they go on to call for the Global Cybersecurity Command interfaced with NATO and the major governments. They'll keep us safe from the Stuxnet launched by the U.S. and Israel publicly. We told you that in September. Now here it is admitted. Stuxnet, another conspiracy theory, turns out to be true. And Paul Watson goes through all the different blogs that attacked us and others and all the big newspapers that said it was preposterous that Israel and the U.S. had launched the Stuxnet. But we could see the motive, we could see the history, and we could also see the chutzpah and the bravado and the arrogance out of the U.S. and Israel when they would refuse to deny they were involved in September. Doesn't take a Goddard rocket scientist to know that Chinese-style tyranny is not a good idea. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know when you see all those signs and they love to antagonize Iran. It's part of the policy. I remember Bush 4 years ago had the White House put a press release out about how they were funding four freedom fighter groups to attack Iran. And three of the four groups were top al-Qaeda, including at the time the number two in al-Qaeda, commanding attacks inside Iran. And then our media had the nerve to say Iran was running al-Qaeda when al-Qaeda is the opposite of the Shiite-run state and they hate each other even more than they hate the West. But again, that's from actually knowing who the players are. I know who the basic players are in Islam, just like you know who the players are in the Dallas Cowboys. But see, they know you don't know about that, some of you new listeners out there, so they just lie to you. Oh, Iran, they're running al-Qaeda. I mean, they come out and tacitly admit they launched the attack, and 3.5 months later, well, this was early September, so I guess September, October, November, December. Yeah, we're talking almost 4 months later. Oh, the New York Times comes out and admits the entire thing. Schwarzenegger, gearing up to try to repeal the 22nd Amendment so he can be president, says, I was addicted to being the governor, he told the Austrian newspaper, Krone. Gotta love how he always does everything for Austria first, always gives them the first interviews, everything. Good, go back to Austria. It's a beautiful country, nice people, a lot of culture. Get out of my country. I'm not over in Austria running around talking about how I want to be a dictator and working with Ken Lay, robbing people. Oh, yeah, he was heavily involved in all that. And he just talks about how I lost $200 million, $70 million on movie losses. I've looked at Schwarzenegger's wealth. It's gone way up. You don't think he wasn't in there because he was heavily involved in business deals, including Enron? What a joke. Well, it doesn't matter. Anybody's taking as much steroids as you, pal, you better hope they get that life extension technology perfected real fast, because you look like you're about to keel over and fall over. Now, how much makeup they put on you and how they prop you up with that arrogant authoritarian smile on your gun-grabbing, open-border-loving, New World Order face. But I'll say to you, Auslander Reich, get out of my country. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. I'm going to get into really key news straight ahead on somebody in Chile, a real patriot. Yeah, they don't want shackles on them in Chile.
Don't want no shackles.
They want to be free.
Don't want no shackles on.
Again, I had some pride yesterday. Pride in the strength and the courage and the focus and the spirit that you can hear in this voice. And we've sent a communique via the fella's YouTube channel. We have it, the video linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When we linked to it, it had about 200 viewers yesterday. Now it's had close to 100,000. I would guess this video will end up getting several million views. It's Rockefeller-owned. Chileans tell him he will fail. And that's what they're saying in Spanish to him. But they're also speaking in English. And I was very proud of the fact that when I went to this YouTube channel of the man who confronted them, and he's there on the YouTube channel saying, yes, I'm the guy who uploaded the video. I'm the guy that confronted him, David Rockefeller. And also Mr. Eastman, one of the richest men in South America, Australian elitist Edward McClure, who served as president of the League of Nations. It just goes on and on here. You can read the whole breakdown at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Rockefeller owned. Chileans tell him he will fail. Together with his good old friend Edward Eastman, Mr. Rockefeller takes a quick vacation almost every year in the south of Chile. Both are well known for working with the CIA during the 73 coup against their president down there, and they killed hundreds of thousands. And, of course, Kissinger brags about that. He's wanted on war crimes in Spain for it. And manipulating public opinion through a newspaper called El Mercurio, Edwards is also known for being a descendant of Chilean elitist Edward McClure, who served as the president of the League of Nations from 22 to 23 and also ran the same newspaper. So here is a super high-powered, one of the most wealthy media magnates in South America, super high-powered mafia, Mr. Easton, helping set up with David Rockefeller's grandfather, the first mode of the UN, a big eugenicist, being confronted, and it's just so powerful. And then I go to the guy's channel. He's got our films up there. He's translated into Spanish. He's got all this great work he's doing. And to know that we're influencing great people in Chile, they're influencing us here. Together, we're all nationalistic, pro-family, pro-sovereignty. But it's also a global movement against global tyranny. It takes a global movement to fight their global tyranny, but it's independent. But it's a manifesto of liberty as we all basically think along the same lines. And it's that idea that's bulletproof. Here is the powerful audio and video of the confrontation.
Rockefellers, come back. We don't want your new world order, you know? Leave Chile right now. Leave Chile. You are not... You're killing a lot of people! You're killing a lot of people! Leave here! Leave Chile right now! Leave Chile! Leave Chile! We don't want your war government! Leave Chile right now! Leave Chile, okay? Leave Chile! Your family!
No,
Your family is the most disgusting in the world, you know? Leave here. Leave. Leave. You also, you're a traitor to Chile. Mr. Agustin Edward, you're a traitor to Chile, okay? You're a traitor to Chile. What you're doing right now, okay? 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 You know everything. You know everything. You're participating with him. You're participating with him in this. Your world government will fail, okay? Your world government will fail. Will fail. Will fail. You know it. Leave Chile right now. We don't want you here. We don't want your disgusting things here. Leave Chile now.
You gotta love it. We don't want you here, you disgusting creature. And by the way, Rockefeller admittedly ran the takeover of Chile and death squads that conservatively killed tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands were put in prison or disappeared. So here's a guy in a country that still isn't too free talking to a literal Hitler visiting his country who's committed a Holocaust. That's real courage.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we've got conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly, head of the Eagle Forum, joining us to talk about, is it going to be meet the new boss, same as the old boss with these Republicans going into Congress? What do we do about the globalist agenda? I'm going to ask her about globalist control, the conservative movement in this country. How far does it go back? Does it go back to Barry Goldwater or before? We're going to have an important talk with her coming up in 30 minutes. Look forward to that. And then in studio, we're going to have Dr. Wakefield, who's been on all the big morning shows, Good Morning America, Dr. Andrew Wakefield. They're trying to run this hoax that his research on autism, the vaccine link, is a hoax. If you just joined us, I could watch that Rockefeller confrontation over and over again. You see the vampiric leer of Nosferatu, Herr Rockefeller. If you have to point at one man who's been a more tireless agent of Mordor, of evil, it has to be David Rockefeller. I mean, he's CFR, Trilateral Commission, UN programs, biological diversity assessments, carbon taxes, the entire China we see today, this giant murdering monster with sports stadium executions and total control and one-child policies. It was David Rockefeller who went there, set the deal up, writes about it in his memoirs, praises Mao Zedong, just as the head of Goddard Space Center, James Hansen, says we need a Chinese authoritarianism. He says totalitarianism is good. And what do we hear from Dr. Eric Pianka, biology department? At least he was the head years ago. I don't know what he is now. What do we have with Peter Singer? What do we have with Ted Turner? What do we have with Jacques Cousteau? What do we have with Prince Philip? What do we have with Prince Charles, what do we have with it? Just every day or two, Watson's got a new article where some top IPCC head at the UN says we need authoritarianism, get rid of freedom, carbon tax everyone, one-child policies. And this Hansen goes on to say, we'll have no economy, in Watson's article, quoting him, we'll have no economy until we embrace the Chinese model of totalitarianism and carbon taxes, and that tariffs should be levied globally against the U.S. if we don't go along with it. Meanwhile, China, who he says is the model, doesn't have these carbon taxes. I mean, he knows they're imploding our economy, and now they're going to dance around on the ashes of our economy, blaming it because we didn't accept carbon taxes? Well, California has, and look how fast they're going down the toilet bowl. How fast they're circling the drain. I mean, these guys relish authoritarian oppression. They relish forced abortion. They endorse it. And it's their little enjoyment, their little power trip over you when they go to the mall, and they always write about how they detest their fellow Americans, or when they go walk down the street, or they go to Times Square, and they just survey the public, and they write about this, how disgusting we are, how filthy we are. But they've got that little power trip. They're not stopping us from what we're putting the Teflon in the pans, that if you're parrot is sitting 10 feet from it, it'll drop dead. It's so deadly. They're not going to stop us from that fluoride in that water when we're also putting it in the foods now. They're not going to stop us from the vaccines. Oh, God. Bill Gates, oh, we've given him so much power. He's patenting all these mosquitoes that'll forcibly deliver it. Oh, we're going to sterilize them. We're going to take their power to breed. Oh, we've got this instinct to want to dominate and control you. And oh, we're control freaks. Oh, the religion of control freakdom. They love looking at you with hate. And I've seen globalists, I've read their writings, I've studied them. When they see a family, a good-looking family with healthy, happy kids, they just recoil with hate. And they've always just got, like, black teeth. And even if they're young, they always look like David Rockefeller or this handsome guy. They're always like Emperor Palpatine. We'll be seeing the degenerative effects on your children soon enough. I control everything, you fools. You don't even know we're poisoning your water. They'll never wake up. I mean, it's just, why do we let this scum perch on us and vomit on us?
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
During the break, I was watching Fox News. They had on the screen, U.S. owes more than $1 trillion to China. And then it was Obama with hat in hand at the table being bossed around by the Chinese. The globalists have worked so hard to get us into debt. They've worked so hard to overextend us as an empire. While the Rupert Murdoch media overseas demonizes us, domestically it leads the charge of patriotism, leading us into the trap. Leading us into the setup. Then the controlled left here at home demonizes America instead of demonizing the globalists that have engineered this. And the vast majority, over 90% of this debt, if not owed because of Social Security or because of even the military budget, it is owed in derivatives because we've signed on to pay off the 1.5 global quadrillion derivatives. 1,500 trillion, and that was a year ago. That's an average of what a group of economists said here on air. Again, the Washington Post a few months ago said 600 plus trill, which would be a little more than one third of what Tarpley says, 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trill. But many other mainline economists say it's over a trill, 1,000 trill. It's hard to even get my mind around these numbers. And some economists say it's over 2,000 trill. See, I can't even say this properly. Many economists say it's 1,500 trillion. The Washington Post says it's around 650 trillion. Webster Tarpley says it's 1,500 trillion. But whether it's 650 trillion or 1,500 trillion or 2,000 trillion, we don't owe it. They talk about our national debt being 14 and a half trill. The national debt is $14.5 trillion. Bloomberg reported over a year ago, it was in January of last year, $28 trillion. In late 2009, they reported $23.7 trillion. You can just say $23.7 trillion Bloomberg. It'll come up for you. Then an additional 5-plus trill was spent. And then they stopped giving the numbers. And they won't tell Congress or anybody else. So we owe $14 trillion and change on the Social Security and all the rest of this. But we're signed on in derivatives to over $1,000 trillion. And they endlessly talk about the $14-plus trillion. You know, 14.2, 14.5, 14.6, depending on how you slice it. Why aren't we having a discussion about the 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion, or 600 trillion, however you want to slice it? Let's just say it's only 640-something trillion, like the Washington Post said. Okay, it's only 600 trillion. Almost all of that is not government debt. It's globalist debt. It's made up derivatives they sold. They sold it to individuals and corporations and governments. And it came out in Iceland. It came out in Greece. It's coming out in Ireland. In the news, they'll admit, oh, almost all of this debt is owed by the central banks and the private banks themselves, but Ireland's going to pay it off for them for stability. Iceland is going to pay it off for stability. Greece is going to pay it off and sell their 600-plus islands for stability. And then you read, this billionaire pension fund raider, he's getting this Greek island as payment from the Greek government. This guy, you know, sells fraud, and then they go, okay, here's our island. Thanks for the fraud. And then now the president, who likes to bow to the Saudi king and likes to bow to the Queen of England and likes to, he's never found a royal he doesn't want to bow to because he knows who the real power is. The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the British, the Dutch royals, the Saudi royals. The Imperial House of Japan still owns most of the country. You notice when our government went and took them over and took that, I mean, they immediately went in and made a deal with the royals and then pulled out. Because the queenie over there doesn't want to set the precedent of royals ever falling. That's why a lot of times royals would kill their own families, but they would never kill their cousins across the English Channel or vice versa, or in Austria. They would never kill their cousins in Russia because that's dangerous. You start letting royals die, you exile them. You don't allow royal blood to be spilt. You know, Napoleon declared himself a royal emperor. You notice they exiled him twice. You don't kill royalty. Never. And they believe it's their divine right to do this to us because we sit here and take it. We sit here and we take it. And so now they're teaching us, and they've dispatched the Federal Reserve, thousands of representatives, to colleges and high schools to go and speak to your children or to speak to your young adults who you paid to send to college to be brainwashed about how great the Federal Reserve is. And there's all these PSAs. Don't be against the Federal Reserve. You may be with the Tucson shooter. Oh, don't be against the Federal Reserve. You may be in a MIAC Homeland Security report. Oh, let's send the FBI to your house to ask. You've been riding against the Federal Reserve. Are you planning on something? And the Federal Reserve's federal security guards in Kansas City would come a half mile down the road and appear to my guys videotaping it from a hilltop and with hands on the side of their firearms. This made the Kansas City Star. And say, you will not videotape. Leave this area of Kansas City. And my guys said, well, you have no jurisdiction. You're security guards. And they put their hands on their guns and they said, you want to? And my guys followed orders. They left. Aaron started arguing with them, but I've seen the video. You've seen it. We've posted it. Just let everybody see the tyranny. See, it's all, oh, you represent foreign bankers raping us? Oh, you say here in the Chinese dictatorship of America, where we're owned by the communist Chinese, as the number one owners, number two, the private Federal Reserve that set up China? They're like, oh, you're killing millions of your people? You're sterilizing women? Unlimited cash. Oh, we love you. And just all over the news every day, China, they know how to deal with protesters. They know how to deal with political dissidents. They chop out their organs and sell it to computer company executives. You don't hear about China and authoritarianism anymore. You don't hear about China being a threat anymore. All you see is them having our stealth fighters and our missiles. Because America is done. They're removing the wealth from here. They set this up. They designed it. They've got the police trained to hate libertarians and conservatives and gun owners. And they're leaving us with an ocean of dumbed down control freaks looking for power. And they can't even get jobs at McDonald's. So they've been battle hardened overseas in torture, death, murder, and all of it. And they're coming to have their blood feast upon us. They're coming to have their way with us. We are between a rock and a hard place. I mean, just where they're openly on the news, Chris Matthews, they're breaking our will right now. They're trying. White people are crackers and trash. Trying to invoke whites to become racial and have everybody else see themselves as racial so we all fight with each other. The elite are so desperate, they're going, pull out the cracker card. And they've already said N-word. And anybody who doesn't like big government or wants to keep their guns hates black people and is burning crosses secretly. If that doesn't work, try to sick minorities on what's left of Western culture. Tell them crackers are bad. Tell them it's good to go after cracker. I mean, all of this is scripted to get us fighting with each other right at this point where we all come into this global government collapse that's been engineered. And we have a nation of arrested development males who act like between 5 and 10 year olds. It is seen to be manly to only like sports and acting tough and not getting involved. The women are, on average, completely worldly tarts. They traded their feminine power and their motherhood and their honor to dress like prostitutes and behave like them. And now the country is falling. All by design. They had to make us weak before they did it. And now they've got the U.S. just sliding around in the mud before the communist Chinese bloodthirsty butchers of all history. The absolute world record killers, and our country just groveling in the mud, being taught that we were bad, and thank goodness the communist Chinese are here to sell us, and thank goodness the Federal Reserve is here, and thank goodness NATO is here, and thank goodness the 10 FEMA regions are here, and thank goodness there's telescreens going up everywhere where the government gives us announcements telling us how they make the grass grow and how they make the birds sing. Thank goodness for them. Unless we recognize the type of hardcore authoritarian tyranny we're going into and the leaders everywhere praising authoritarian tyranny and making it fashionable for the left that it's some type of environmental, cult they're part of, on the right, an anti-terror cult, as the Club of Rome said, they'll have a right-wing attack on freedom and the anti-terror movement, and then they'll have a left-wing attack on freedom via the environmental fascism. And they're now doing it. We're going to go to break and come back and get into some more news. And then we've got the founder of the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly, joining us. We're going to get into what's happening with China, more on Stuxnet, more on these calls for authoritarian tyranny, more on the economy, the pension funds going belly up. Don't worry, the bankers are getting rid of our AAA rating. They'll have higher priced loans for us, like Nigeria, who borrowed $1 billion and is paid over $50 billion on that one loan and still owes $50 plus bill. Oh, losing that credit rating. In fact, the Chinese have already downgraded our credit rating. Oh, the communist Chinese, who just 50 years ago couldn't even feed themselves, now running everything because the globalists sold us on the cheap Chinese slave goods. They sold us on globalism and naphtha and gat. And like idiots, the public took the bait. And now, like a little fish, we're in the net going in the boat, and the New World Order fat cats are going, I like fish. Yeah. Okay, I wanted to get to this video now. And it's up on Infowars.com. It's the advertisement, the trailer, for a Frontline piece that asks, are we safer? Tracking Baltimore's motorist, are we safer? And the trailer, again, is up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I want to play this and then come back and give you, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Or as Paul Harvey, God bless his soul, would say. This will be old news for you, but it's new news for the lemmings. As they're told about face scanning cameras and the license plate readers and it hooked up to government systems. Because it's not just key government installations. It's a nationwide grid, even on dirt roads, the middle of nowhere, hooked in, scanning your license plates. But I have the LA Times where in California, over 1 million government license plates are exempt. And I'm going to have Watson do an article on this tomorrow. So government's exempt, and Dyncorp and Halliburton can be caught running giant child kidnapping rings. They can bring in hundreds of billions in narcotics. I was reading the Bloomberg yesterday where just one U.S. bank had $300 plus billion in drug money. It's $500 billion a year. And you really think some guys in a cave in Afghanistan are running it, or your local crack house is running that? No, it's admitted. It's the government and the big banks. And so these scanners are to make sure they can carry out their crimes. Or if somebody saw the government snatching your kid because a Saudi Arabian wants them or something, that's one of the big buyers of them. They'll be able to tell. This guy saw it. Just go ahead and send a hit team to that neighbor's house. He saw us with our snatch team. So these are so they can carry out robbing and murder and evil against us. So the equivalent of Stalin, Hitler, and Mao rolled into one now has this Pentagon. Oh, and then they lie and say in this piece that this was developed in Iraq and Afghanistan. MIT bragged years ago, over a decade ago. This was all tested in the U.S. 15 years ago from Indiana to Texas on the highways, deployed and then used in Afghanistan and Iraq, and is now being augmented here. So, and they admit it. I mean, this is a military grid against us, okay? Military doesn't belong to us. It's there to ship in cocaine and heroin and ship out little kids. Here's the clip.
In Maryland, they've even started taking pictures of license plates.
What are we doing here?
The system we're using has two cameras. It's constantly taking pictures, observing the tags, allowing the system to record them, and check them against the database.
Suspended or revoked registration.
This technology, used by U.S. military forces on the streets of Baghdad, has migrated to the streets of Baltimore.
With a license plate reader system, if we were to get that information, we can then go into the system and see where else this car has been.
The software with the system, when it sees what it thinks is a license plate, it will read it using OCR, optical character recognition, and make a cross-check against a database we are running.
Surveillance cameras at vital institutions are also photographing license plates and adding them to the database.
Maybe nobody called it in when they were at Fort Detrick or Aberdeen Proving Ground or at Bowling Air Force Base. But the license plate readers will tell us they were there and when they were there and when they passed through. That's a pattern. That's something we'd want to know about.
And they've gone one step further. Smile. Cameras are everywhere.
We are very big on CCTV. We believe that it is a force multiplier, that it is an effective way not only to provide greater security in open spaces,
but to get the narcotics in.
Evidence Times Square. But also it's a much more effective way to guard approaches to tunnels, bridges, and other sorts of static targets.
Oh, yeah.
One of three new stories next time on Frontline. Watch online or on air beginning January 18th.
Okay. So I guess that starts today. Now, you in all these shows in the last decade where they show you, oh, Florida town, everyone that goes in has their plates run by the cameras. Or, oh, in a British town, everybody that comes in, you notice that they drive around and they're seeing stolen cars, you name it, and they're not stopping them. In fact, when your car gets stolen, you can't even get the police to respond. These things are to control the people, and they all hook into the threat fusion centers, and it's to learn your associations. See, the Stasi would put a radioactive isotope on the floors of apartments to track people by their footprints to learn who was meeting and what was going on. Now they just track you over your iPhone, your Android. They track you by satellite. They track you by your license plate. And they're total criminals that are doing it.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
We had Phyllis Schlafly set up for the show, and we just got her on the phone during another interview, so they got their time zones mixed up. She's going to be joining us here in about 15 minutes. And Dr. Wakefield, we can just get him on about 10 after coming up in the next segment of the next hour, because I want some time with her to go over this Fox headline from yesterday. Tea Party faces challenges as GOP gains stronger control. And it just goes into how the big mainline GOP is going right back to their regular globalist arrogance. What do you expect? So we'll talk to the founder and head of the Eagle Forum coming up if that pans out. But I've had her on over the years a few times. If this doesn't pan out today, we'll just set her up for a full hour in the near future. I want to continue with what I was just saying and going over. You know, if that sounds hardcore to you, where I'm talking about our government, our military, bringing in narcotics, it's in plain view. They were caught in Vietnam. They've been caught over and over again in the 1980s and 90s. There's been congressional hearings on it. This isn't low-level military men and women who are compartmentalized and most of them doing important jobs. It's that at the top and under the national security umbrella, NATO is on record, Interpol is on record, the Pentagon, every major branch, the high-level brass in just total evil. And when you're in the business of killing people and breaking things, and when in the military, going back thousands of years, you might sacrifice 500 horsemen to lead out the main enemy force. And you give the order to the horsemen, the cavalry, men you even know, to go off and die. And so that attitude of human life being cheap or even worthless just permeates. So if Dyncorp and Halliburton can make money first on stupid teenage girls they trick and pick up and fly out of Central Asia, out of Eastern and Central Europe, why not move on to little kids? And you can pull up Chicago Tribune, you can pull up BBC, UN sex trafficking, Dyncorp, Halliburton caught human trafficking, and you'll read, just as a footnote, oh, and of the million-plus children trafficked out of Europe every year, the UN estimates, it's the UN itself and these big contractors that are doing it. I mean, this is a big, big business. And it's just, that's the way it is. We're the good guys. Our president wears an American flag lapel. And see, these are the issues that the big mainline conservatives won't touch, the liberals won't touch. And I, for one, am just sick of it. Nobody is safe with these people running our society. No one's safe. Not your pension funds, not your health, not our future. I mean, these people have hated America from the beginning. They have done everything they can to tear down our culture, to dumb us down, to destroy our families, to turn us against each other. The global social engineers have bragged how they hated the Christian ethic, how they hated the family, how they wanted to get rid of it. And they didn't do it because they were offering something trendy and fun and enlightening and empowering. They did it because they wanted you to be isolated and weak. Even if you're an atheist, you know, the point is, it was the Christian Protestant pilgrim work ethic that wasn't perfect, but compared to every other culture in the world, produced unlimited technology, unlimited wealth. And now it's all gone. We don't have it anymore. We are a bunch of dumbed-down sloths, myself included, who've got to rediscover the spirit of liberty that empowered this country and made it so great. Not just because liberty is wonderful, but because tyranny is so horrible. This is a hot tyranny we're going into. There's been a cold war against our freedoms for a long time. But now you can see it. The war drums aren't over the hill. They're now right in amongst us. And this tyranny is unfolding around all of us each and every single day. I wanted to take a few minutes out before we get Phyllis Schlafly on to encourage listeners to realize that just because you've known about this for 30 years or 20 years or 5 years doesn't mean your friends and family do. But now they know something's wrong. They're awakening. Now is the time to reach out to people with films like The Obama Deception on DVD. Get it at InfoWars.com. Make copies of it. Air it on your local access TV. Don't screw around. Jump through the hoops. Find other producers that are already got shows. Get them to air it. Do whatever it takes. Don't screw around. Get the job done. Even little towns, you'll reach hundreds and hundreds of people every time it airs. Big cities, hundreds of thousands. Because people are surfing the cable channels. They'll stop on something like the Obama deception. A lot of folks are taking action. We're getting reports of big TV stations all over the country. People are buying time. They're not waiting for orders from headquarters. They're going to the sound of the guns. They're airing Endgame. They're airing Invisible Empire. They're airing What in the World Are They Spraying? It's not one of my films, but I hear it's airing. They're airing the Obama deception. They're airing Fall of the Republic. It's having an effect. And keep doing it. Get Endgame. Get Invisible Empire. Get What in the World Are They Spraying with the chemtrails. Get the Obama deception. We've got a deal still running where you can get five of my films. Five. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Five for $24.95. That's less than $5 a piece. Get them out to everybody. And that little amount of profit we make allows this operation to be funded. You're also always welcome to go to the online video bookstore shopping cart. And there's a donation button if that's the way you want to give right there to fund this operation. Also, all of our great sponsors. But the T-shirts, the books, the films, those are super effective because you're not just funding this operation. If you give us a donation, you are actually, which helps get the websites and the films and the workout. You know that when you get a DVD and make 100 copies or even just 10 copies or 1,000, whatever the case is, and you hand them out to people, you know you're having an effect and you're participating in it out there, growing your liberty muscles, growing your activism muscles, engaging with more people, and not just getting yourself more limber like a boxer politically who is more accustomed to talking to folks, but you're also getting other people more accustomed to talking about politics and setting and lighting those bushfires in the minds of men and women everywhere. I remember I was never that nervous if a bully started a fight with me. And I was never that nervous going and talking to a girl and asking her out to a movie because the girls were so pretty and their hair and their eyes and their lipstick that I was like an animal when I was a teenager. I wasn't. But, I mean, I didn't really have a lot of emotional hang-ups, when it came to being nervous. But I still did when I was trying to sell somebody something. Or when I was just calling up about to come in for a job interview at a gas station. And I see adults now, and you see those signs of concern. You see adults when they have to call somebody in business, they're nervous before they do it. I've done it so much, it's like automated. It's not even confidence. It's just that I've done it so much. And in fact, it's almost like an overconfidence where I'm like halfway asleep sometimes on air. I'm excited I'm on air, but I'm not excited where I'm nervous. And so I'm not even as focused as I should be is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm almost too far on the other extreme. My point is get out there, talk to people, get accustomed to it, get things done. Don't be timid. You're engaged in an emergency operation to awaken people and to cause a splash and a stir peacefully to get the word out at city council, at county commissioners meetings. Most of those are aired on local TV or on cable. You can go speak to them there. You can read for 3 minutes about fluoride, read for 3 minutes about the wars, talk for 3 minutes about the threat fusion centers, the federalization, talk for 3 minutes about the face scanning cameras, talk for 3 minutes about my films or other films or websites. All of you should go get your own YouTube channels and start politically speaking. So what if the first time your audio is not that good and the video is blurry and you stumble around? My first year at Access TV in 1995, I was doing it by myself. I didn't have anybody in the studio to help me. So I just did it in the control room with a camera and I'd turn a light on and I'd all be up there, with a fisheye look ranting about the New World Order. But I had to warn people. They had bills in the legislature to try to take our guns. They had bills in the legislature to take our farmland. The feds and the UN were doing things that had to be resisted. I had to get on air. I had to warn people. I didn't intend for any of this to happen. I just knew I had to resist them. And look at the success I've had. Am I perfect? Do I have all the answers? No. But I'm real. And that's what matters. And again, we've got to get involved in this fight. We've got to use the best, most truthful, most accurate, most well-done tools we've got in the info war, and that's films like Invisible Empire that I produced, directed by Jason Burmis. the seminal Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, films we carry, like What in the World Are They Spraying?, films like Terror Storm. They're all available at Infowars.com. You can also go to PrisonPlanet.tv, a literal arsenal in the Infowar. Thousands of different interviews, tens of thousands of total shows, now almost 4 years of video archives of the show, 7 years of audio archives, all of my films, expanded extras, all these big exclusive interviews, uploading multiple ones a week. Joel Skousen, Chuck Baldwin this week, Russell Means, I mean, at Wounded Knee, shot, beautiful, high death, powerful, vaccine issues, tyranny, every issue you can imagine, all of it covered in detail. And you can go in there and burn it to disk, download it, share it with people, PrisonPlanet.tv. We've got another week or so, a little more than a week, for you to get 5 months free, and then that special will end. PrisonPlanet.tv, but your purchase of the membership, again, makes the broadcast possible, everything we do here possible. PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, continuing here with the news, this needs to be stood up against. NASA's Hansen imposed Chinese totalitarianism on America. Totalitarian thugs love China. They love its authoritarian government and absolute political power. One such thug is climatologist James Hansen. This is a Kurt Nemo article at PrisonPlanet.com. Hansen thinks America needs to adopt Chinese authoritarianism in order to force climate change down the throats of the American people. And then he has the quotes about how great China is and how we need to go with their system and how they've got it all straight. Just like David Rockefeller wrote those editorials for the New York Times saying how great Mao Zedong was after it was all over the news that he was a mass murderer and even the Chinese government had decried it. He came out and defended it. He goes on to say that China and Europe need to impose carbon tariffs on us if we don't accept it. And he goes on to praise it. And then we have quotes here. In China, thought reform or thought control is considered the goal. It is psychological and spiritual submissiveness, often achieved through violence. It is the envy of totalitarian thugs around the world. And it goes on here that James Hansen should be promptly removed from his position at the head of NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Okay, now joining us, and I really appreciate her coming on, and I hope she'll join us again in the future. We've only got about 20 minutes with us, is Phyllis Schlafly, national leader of the conservative movement since the publication of her first best-selling book in 64, A Choice, Not an Echo. And, of course, she founded the Eagle Forum. Her monthly newsletter, The Schlafly Report, is now in its 43rd year. Her syndicated column appears in 100 newspapers, and her radio commentaries are heard daily on 500 radio stations, including they carry it here on the Genesis Network. And we appreciate her joining us. EagleForum.org is her website. Phyllis, great to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm happy to talk to you.
You know, out of the gates here, I don't know if you've heard of this, but the Washington Times and others are reporting on it. But what do you think of the head of the Goddard Space Center, the NASA climatologist, praising Chinese authoritarianism and saying we need it here to force carbon taxes through? These people are really uncloaking the fact that they're really just authoritarians.
Yes. I think after the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990, a lot of the hardcore leftists and communists moved into the environmental movement, and they want government to take over. These are earth worshippers. So their god is the earth, and they want to control us. They want to tell us how... well, you know, Obama himself said you can't keep the thermostat in your house set at 72 anymore. Well, the nerve of him. We've built a wonderful, prosperous, high standard of living. And if we want our houses set at 72, we're entitled to have our houses set at 72. And so the environmentalists, what they're doing to the light bulbs, taking away our light bulbs and trying to make us use these cookie bulbs that are made in China.
Yeah, they're setting the key precedents that we are controlled by a central commissariat.
Yes, and they are developing the idea that the laws can be made by the regulators instead of by the lawmakers. And that's a very awesome unconstitutional approach. And this is particularly true in the environmental field.
Well, look at Texas. They couldn't pass the carbon taxes that China and others are exempt from in Congress. So now the EPA is literally seizing the regulating of the Texas power plants.
That's correct. And in fact, the Obama administration is pretty upfront about saying that they want to do by regulation what they can't do in Congress. And bad as the Obamacare was, with its, 2,000 pages that we hope is going to get repealed, it set up all kinds of regulatory agencies and regulatory authorities. And they have these czars over everything who are not confirmed in the constitutional way. And Obama's whole plan to fundamentally transform the United States is to have an authoritarian, socialist-style government.
Why did Wall Street give him four times the money they gave McCain, according to the Wall Street Journal, if he's so communistic? Is it what Carol Quigley wrote about, that some of the big mega banks and people, they like to collectivize the general public's wealth?
Well, I do think that's part of it, but it's also, at the time they gave him all that money, the presumption was he was going to win. And they like to buy, what they do with their money is to buy access, and they wanted to have access to him when he was elected.
So they wanted to keep him close to him because they saw him as the winner. I tend to agree with that, but now since then he has loaded his administration with the Clinton crew who got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act. Phyllis Schlafly, founder of the Eagle Forum, is our guest. We're going to come right back after this quick break. We've only got her for about 10 more minutes, but hopefully we can get her back up in the near future for a longer interview. Phyllis Schlafly is our guest, and again, the website is Eagle Forum if you want to check it out. We're going to have to get her back on sometime in the next few weeks for the full interview because we got wires crossed. We only got her for this segment and the next. But Phyllis, again, the website, eagleforum.org, I see this Fox News headline, Tea Party faces challenges as GOP gains stronger control. And the Fox News article basically says that it's going to be business as usual with the Republican fat cats, you know, keeping the gravy train and big government and all of these things going. But then I look at Ron Paul winning the CPAC straw poll a year ago or so and getting a standing ovation when he said in these wars, and that's, you know, the really powerful Republicans all together right there. You're inside the Republican Party. I mean, you're able to get a good look at it from different perspectives. What's really going on? Is there any hope from the Republicans, or is it just going to turn into the same old thing?
Well, I have hope for the Republicans, and they are going to try to absolutely repeal Obamacare in the House this week. And although it probably won't pass in the Senate, and Obama will veto it, nevertheless, it's an important statement. And I think they ought to then start to dismantle it after they do. There are a couple of lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of it. One judge has already held that the mandate on everybody is unconstitutional, and we think the second judge is going to do that shortly in the next day or so. So I'm encouraged, and we welcome all the Tea Party people to join us. I think our goals are the same, and we need all the help we can get.
Well, my only concern is, the Eagle Forum has talked a lot about authoritarianism and tyranny and things. My only concern is I've got a quote here out of the Hill newspaper with Cheney saying that, Obama has learned from the Bush era. I mean, learned from Bush. I guess he has expanded the deficit and spending even more than Bush. I guess he did learn from him, or rendition or torture or secret police or warrantless wiretapping. Where does the Eagle Forum stand on things like that we decry when China does it? But I mean, where does the Eagle Forum stand, who I know does a lot of good work throughout the years, on the loss of liberty here and abroad?
Well, when you talk about Obama going to moderate, I think you're trying to be funny. There's no way he's going to do that. He is a committed socialist. You should read the new book by, Stanley Kurtz about how he became a committed socialist when he was at Columbia University. And he has said he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America and that he wants to redistribute the money, and that's not only from rich taxpayers to poor in the United States, but it's also from the U.S. to the rest of the world. And I think we have to recognize that he's an enemy of everything that constitutionalists and conservatives and real Americans really believe in, and we have to fight it all the way. We need the Tea Party people to help us. I think they will. We need to keep pushing some backbone into the hands of the leaders, our leaders in Washington, and I hope they're going to fulfill their campaign promises. That's why we elected them.
Yeah, no. I mean, no doubt Obama wants to create socialism to control the population and domesticate us. My issue is, you look at Nixon going to China, and you look at Kissinger, all these other so-called conservatives, these Rockefeller Republicans, they've started basically the movements that now sees the Red Dragon owning the majority of our debt and telling us what to do. I mean, that's why I'm saying I don't have a lot of faith in the Republicans.
Well, I think we got rid of the Rockefeller Republicans, and we've done a pretty good job of getting rid of the Rhinos, which is just the new name for the Rockefeller Republicans in name only. I think the conservatives are in the driver's seat in the Republican Party, and the question is, will they have the backbone to stand up against things? I've come to believe that...
Stay right there. We got to go to break. Back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Founder and the head of the Eagle Forum, eagleforum.org, Phyllis Schlafly, is our guest. It's our final segment with her, but we're going to try to get her back on next Tuesday for the full 30-minute interview that we'd had planned. You know, when I talk about not having faith in the Republicans, I mean I want to keep their feet to the fire. We do see the media demonizing people like Rand Paul, throwing everything, every lie they can at him. And so that really is the, I guess, the seal that, you know, that somebody is good if the corporate media, the establishment media, is going after him. I just see stuff like Cheney says Obama has learned that Bush policies were right. That's from the Hill newspaper. Phyllis, what's your... take on how we do keep the feet to the fire? I mean, I did see a good sign when they abolished the Global Warming Committee last week. I guess that was a good sign.
Well, I think constituents have to keep contacting their congressmen. And my website, eagleforum.org, I've got a good system called CapWiz, where after we send out alerts, and if you get on our list, you can receive our alerts, or you can go on the website. And then it's the system where you can contact your congressman direct, because all they really care about is their own constituents, and you have to override what the media are telling them. But I think Cheney doesn't have any influence in the Republican Party anymore. I think we've got new leadership. If you look at what some people like Michelle Bachmann and Steve King and other of these young members of Congress are saying, we've got some real leadership coming up the line.
What do you think of Ron Paul and Rand Paul?
Well, I certainly supported and contributed to Rand Paul, and I'm glad he won. I've been a longtime friend of Ron Paul, and I think he has some very important things. It's amazing how he's increased his support for having an audit for the Federal Reserve. But I'm very much opposed to a third party. We lost about 10 very excellent candidates on November 2nd because of third party votes that took just a small number of votes away from the Republicans. And I think that's a dead end road. I don't urge anybody to go that way.
So you'd rather have libertarians and constitutionalists take over the Republican Party instead of trying to start their own third party? I can tell you right now, Ron Paul, I believe, is going to run for president, and I think he'll be the best candidate. I don't think he's going to be too old because he's in great shape, and I hope you'll support him. But you know Rand Paul's the real deal, the way they went after him. Wasn't that disgusting?
Well, yes, it was disgusting, and I'm glad he won. And Ron Paul has a lot to contribute, and I hope he continues to run as a Republican.
Phyllis, in closing, what do you think about the media hoax that did backfire, trying to blame this deranged schizophrenic shooter in Tucson on conservatives?
Well, I think the public was smart enough to figure out what they were doing, and I don't think it got anywhere. The Democrats were trying to play it like Clinton played the Oklahoma City bombing, and he thought that which Clinton had nothing to do with was what rehabilitated him with the American people. But you know, it's now come out that with Obama's speech in about the Arizona event, of course he only speaks from a teleprompter, but they had inserted prompts for the audience to applaud. Now, that is so tacky, you can hardly believe it. He's just a fake. And I don't think people were taken in by it.
Well, the founder and head of the Eagle Forum, what an iconic person. We appreciate Phyllis Schlafly joining us, and I look forward to getting you on sometime next week for at least 30 minutes, Phyllis. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, Alex, we'll have fun next week.
You bet. I'm going to say a word to you here during the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Off being on Good Morning America and programs like that is Dr. Andrew Wakefield here in studio for the balance of this hour. We're honored to have him. I wanted to hit a few stories that are up at GCNlive.com, also at Infowars.com. TSA continues to deny that scanners store images. Jason Douglas has a report on this at Infowars.com as well. But the problem here is they just denied a FOIA request for the thousands of images they admit that they have. And they've had the courthouse in Miami, it turned out, 35,000 images. Folks, they're storing these. It's in the owner's manual of the systems that they're storing them, okay? So they're liars when they say that they can't even store them. They say these machines won't even store images, and we have the owner's manual. They're lying on that front. Also, at GCNlive.com, Stuxnet, it's now come out to be a so-called conspiracy theory. Well, now it's turned out to be true. Just amazing. So the Stuxnet worm that's been launched all over the world, Israel and the United States now admit that they created it, but they're simultaneously using it to take over internet freedom when our own governments launched it at Iran and it bounced back into the United States. Also at GCNlive.com, NASA's Hansen, it says in Post, Chinese totalitarianism on the world, actually has his quotes saying how great authoritarianism is. And here in the United States in Wyoming, they're also doing it in Texas, no refusal blood checkpoints program continues to expand nationwide. And that's by Steve Watson. They're putting that in a DNA database, just like I was told 15 years ago by a nurse who was involved in a secret Pentagon program. She sent me the documents that all babies at birth were having their blood put in a secret DNA database. Even though I published the documents with phone numbers and names, the media laughed at me. And then last year, they come out with lawsuits that were won in Minnesota and Texas. And guess what? They've been taking blood from babies, all babies born in hospitals under a secret international mandate for 39 years. Australia, England, Germany, Canada, the United States, 39 years globally in a giant global DNA database. And the U.S. military keeps it here. And they also sell it to private firms for DNA tracking, trying to isolate different proteins and things. The reason this came out in lawsuits was people would go to have a genetic treatment that companies would offer, and they'd say, oh, well, we've actually already patented, you know, 28 years ago in one case in San Francisco, your blood type and the proteins in your blood. And they said, well, how'd you do that? Well, we got your blood. I mean, that's how far advanced all of this is. We're not in Kansas anymore, as they say. Now, shifting gears for the next 50 minutes, or the last 50 minutes of the broadcast, here's the headline in ABC News yesterday. British researcher Wakefield defends link between vaccine and autism. British researcher holds true to his study despite claims of falsified data. Now, they keep running this hoax year after year against him. They pick one doctor. Despite the fact I've had all these other scientists, brain surgeons, epidemiologists on who cite and write books of just test after test with vaccines linked to Crohn's, vaccines linked to brain damage, autoimmune problems. British news, British government tells doctors don't give under fives H1N1 shot because of tenfold increase in seizures. That's London Telegraph. Now, what did Wakefield say decades ago? He did the studies, did the tests, found these different antibodies in the gut, that's connected also to other autoimmune problems in the body. That's what all the research shows. He's a pioneer in it. And so they try to target him and claim, and I brought the synopsis up to him, during the break as we were getting him in there. I said, is that accurate? He said, absolutely. Because, see, I've been watching this over the years, and this is how they do it. They perpetrate these hoaxes, like saying Alex Jones, Rush Limbaugh, Ron Paul, we made the guy kill the people. Turns out he was a schizophrenic out of his mind, dressed as a woman who hated George Bush. But reality doesn't matter. So enough of me ranting and raving about this. This is a big hoax that they're running in an attempt to try to discredit people like Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And going over his bio, Dr. Wakefield is an academic gastroenterologist, if I'm pronouncing that right. He received his medical degree from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School, part of the University of London in 81. One of a fourth generation of his family to have studied medicine at the teaching hospital. He qualified as a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons in 85 and 96 was awarded the Wellcome Trust Traveling Fellowship to study small intestinal transplantation in Toronto, Canada. He has made a fellow of the Royal College of Pathologists in 2001. He has published over 140 original scientific articles, book chapters, and invented scientific commentaries. Our invited scientific commentaries, and it goes on in the pursuit of possible links between childhood vaccines and intestinal inflammation and neurologic injury in children. Dr. Wakefield lost his job in the Department of Medicine in London's Royal Free Hospital, his country, his career, and his medical license. And the website is callous-disregard.com. And, of course, he knows Jenny McCarthy and, you know, everybody else has been speaking out against this. But here he is to be able to put it on the record for folks out there what's really going on, what the real science is. Dr. Wakefield, thanks for joining us.
Alex, thank you very much. Great pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Well, tell us about your research, what you discovered, and what they're trying to do to you right now.
Well, first of all, for your readers and your enlightened viewers who already know, the allegations made against me by the British freelance journalist Brian Deer are completely false. They're completely false. Not because I say so, because the documents say so, and you've been kind enough to put my book out there in the past and recommend it, Callous Disregard, which meticulously takes every one of his allegations, dissects it, and offers a coherent answer that rejects, completely rejects, his position. Now, the allegations that he's made are over a year old. So why have they now been rehashed? Why have they now been put in front of the media again in a desperate attempt to stop valid scientific research into safety concerns about vaccines? Because that's what this is about. It's about taking the messenger and shooting him because it doesn't fit with their agenda. It compromises their policy, it compromises their bottom line, and they do not want to hear about it. As you rightly point out, there are a whole host of scientists around the world now who have reproduced these findings. Perhaps more importantly, Alex, the people have spoken. Last year, they did a survey at the University of Michigan. 25% of people, parents, believe that vaccines cause autism. Now, that's despite an extraordinarily intensive, expensive, and elaborate a campaign against me and against parents who believe there's a problem, a public relations campaign. This year, I've just been sent a document showing that there's a local poll in Ohio, a popular poll showing it's now 61% of parents believe that vaccines cause autism. Now, whatever the respective merits of those polls, what they tell us is that that public relations campaign has failed. It's failed because the problem is real. The parents' story is correct, and it's up to scientists and physicians like me to investigate it to the best of our ability to determine what the truth is.
Tell us how you started to investigate and what your findings are. But again, just looking at it, talking to parents who have autistic children, they talk about the baby was fine, 18 months old, running around, giggling, laughing. They get that third round of shots is generally when it's triggered. I guess that overload. They get a fever. Suddenly, they go into that autistic stupor or that whole spectrum, and then associated with it is all sorts of diarrhea and intestinal problems. And so somebody who's a medical doctor who studies the intestines and the gut, why would you not go look at that and try to look at why those two things are correlated? Is that correct?
Well, you've got it in a nutshell. I mean, what happened on May the 17th, 1995, is the first parent called me and said, Dr. Wakefield, my child was fine. They had their MMR vaccine, they regressed into autism, and they developed terrible gastrointestinal problems. And I know many, many parents, both here and abroad, who are in exactly that same position. And I said, wow, I know nothing about autism because at medical school, it was 1 in 10,000 children. We didn't know anything about it. We weren't taught about it.
In fact, I've seen numbers of 1 in 25,000 30 years ago versus 1 in 10,000. What's the accurate number? What was the old number for autism? And I know before it was, like, very rare.
It was such a rarity, such an oddity, that no one had ways of monitoring it. No one knew. No one. It just was so rare that it was speculation, really, about the precise numbers.
And now they say it's over-reporting, but when I go to a movie theater with my children, I remember going to movies when I was a child. There was no one autistic there. Now they might have several rows filled. I mean, now they have whole wings of public schools. Now I go to the park, and there's autistic children just everywhere. I mean, it's like an epidemic. And these people aren't faking this. They're completely not in this world.
No, and it's gone now from those numbers, those rare numbers, to over 1 in 100 in this country, 1 in 68 in the UK, and amongst certain populations like the Somali population in Minneapolis, it's around 1 in 28 children. That is a staggering level of disease. I was on a plane coming back from New York last night, and the child sitting right behind me, who kicked my seat all the way from New York to Austin, had autism.
No, it's the same thing. I fly a lot, and almost every time, or I'm in a restaurant or a movie, you can look and see it's an autistic child, and you'll see their good-looking parents, and you look at the child, they're handsome, they're pretty, but you see them just with their humanity has been stolen from them, and they still got their humanity, but their potential, and it makes me so sick. And we're just supposed to think, oh, this is just happening. I mean, you know, sure, everybody's starting to become autistic. Let's ignore it. So you start researching it, doctor.
Yeah, what you do, medicine starts with the history. What does the parent tell you about what happened to their child? That's the beginning of everything. You examine the child. You investigate their symptoms properly. You don't say, your child's got autism, therefore they're bound to have a diarrhea 12 times a day. Put them in a corner, forget about them, move on with your life. You do not do that. That's not good medicine. It's not medicine at all. And so what we did at the Royal Free was take these children with clear sickness, clear illness, and investigate their symptoms appropriately. And what we found is that the parents were right. The children had an intestinal disease. And when we treated that disease, as you would treat Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, with anti-inflammatory medication, the children started to get better. They started to speak. They started to smile. They were out of pain. They would sleep at night. And that was the beginning of a fascinating journey and a very important journey. And others now around the world have replicated our findings. And one of the things, I was on a show the other day where they called me a liar. I think Anderson Cooper called me a liar for saying that the work had been repeated by others around the world. Well, it has. The work with identifying the bowel disease in these children, that's been replicated in Italy, Poland, Canada, the United States.
Well, I mean, I read the international news. It's in prestigious papers constantly that they've replicated. And then they just call you a liar. Stay there, doctor. I want to come back and get into some of those that have replicated it and how this PR campaign is backfiring on them. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Andrew Wakefield, callous-disregard.com. Here's the book that tells the truth, and it's available on Amazon, you name it. We also sell it at Infowars.com. Andrew J. Wakefield, forward by Jenny McCarthy. Very important. And the way they've demonized Jenny McCarthy, like, oh, she's just doing this for attention. No, she has an autistic child. Or you, how dare you? I mean, they talk to you like you are Satan when you're on these shows. This is your chance uninterrupted to counter these people.
Well, thank you very much. You know, the problem is real. It's not going to go away. And the important thing, Alex, what we can say is that there is a bowel disease in many, many of these children, the treatment of which makes them better. So thousands of children have benefited from our observations 15 years ago that were driven by parental insights. It's the parents that drew our attention to this.
What did you find in their intestines? What's going on, as best you know? Why does it hit boys 4-1?
4-1, we don't know why boys, but this is in common with a number of neurological and psychiatric disorders that they seem to affect boys. Now, it's interesting that estrogen protects the brain. So is it possible that girls have a brain that's protected from this? Girls seem to be less susceptible to infections in early life.
Doctors have always known women are tougher.
Absolutely. They remain that way for the rest of their lives. But so it may be that there are immunological reasons or developmental reasons genetic reasons why girls are more robust in these circumstances and don't experience the same kind of problem. Nonetheless, what we see is a bowel disease that seems to affect anywhere from the top of the gut right the way down through the bottom. The children are in pain. There's no doubt they're in pain. But, of course, they've lost the ability to express that. They can't speak anymore, or they can't communicate in the way that they could. So they can't tell parents that they've got gastrointestinal problems. They can't tell them that they've got tummy pain because they...
What's the trigger in the MMR?
Well, we don't know, and this is what we're looking at. Is it the MMR? We don't know. Do we think that the MMR is implicated? Yes, I do. But I have no proof of that. That's my opinion. And my opinion isn't worth much compared...
But, I mean, there's all these other studies, too, in, like, Italy and other places you mentioned. We can go over some of those if you'd like, but anybody can type in, you know, Italian study shows link to vaccines and intestinal problems that'll come up, or the German studies. I mean, there's so many. I mean, is there any idea what's doing it? I mean, we know that there's this, you know, correlation between vaccines and this problem, but, I mean, any idea?
Well, the problem here, Alex, is it's so complicated. It's not just a live viral vaccine that kids are getting, but at the same time, they're getting vaccines that have mercury in, like the influenza or the meningococcal vaccine. They're getting vaccines that have aluminum in at high concentrations. What are these neurotoxic substances doing in there? What are these poisons to the immune system actually doing in there? They shouldn't be injected into the bodies of children.
And the gut, of course, has the highest flora of natural bacteria, viruses. So is it causing some type of trigger, or we don't know?
Well, it could well be. So you've got all this combination of toxic substances being loaded into children. There could be any kind of synergistic interaction. If you went to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and you said, I've got these three blood pressure drugs, I want to put them in the same capsule and give them to patients, they'd throw you out of the door. Why? Because all your patients would die. Because the interaction between those three blood pressure drugs would kill your patients. They would drop their blood pressure into their boots. And yet, when it comes to vaccines, they get past all of this kind of regulatory control. They can put three viruses, four viruses in. They give pentavalent, heptavalent vaccines with all kinds of things in. And there is no proper regulation of safety standards for vaccines. Beyond that, the manufacturers are not liable. So it's a great market. Why would you not get involved if there's no liability and only profit?
And now most of them are being made in China.
Now, I didn't know that. I mean,
yeah, a lot of the vaccines are being made in China. So think about that with the record of the melamine and the rest of it. So you were telling me during the break about some of these shows, the way they're going after you and building these straw men up.
Well, I think that what's obvious to me is that they're extremely angry. They're extremely angry because they've read this story from the journalist in the UK. They've bought into the idea that it must be true. They don't care that there's another side to this. They don't care that 89% of parents in this country put vaccine safety research as their number one medical research priority. 89%. Again, the people have spoken, but they don't care about that. What they care about is pinning this on one person to blame them for what has happened.
And because of your courage, you've been picked as the patsy. Plus, you come off as very credible. You have a great medical pedigree, all these awards and laurels. They think if they can cut your head off, that'll scare everybody else. Just like with the global warming, they want to crucify a few researchers as they tried a decade ago, but that backfired too. Now it's been proven to be a fraud.
I think this is real. You know, what they do is they isolate me and they show the rest of the medical profession, the scientific profession, if you get involved in this, this is what's going to happen to you. Your career is going to be destroyed. You're going to lose your career. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your medical license. And you're going to lose your country. Well, for me, you know, if that happens, okay. But every time I see a kid with autism, I think I don't have a problem. I think I've got a job to do and I'm going to do it. And I don't know whether vaccines cause autism or not, but I am going to try and find out. I'm going to do my very best to find out because the issue is too important not to.
Absolutely. And when we come back, you were telling me during the break how they had some family on who didn't take a vaccine. They were trying to blame you. You've been very moderate is why they hate you, because you come off as credible. You just said, I want to research this more. And so
I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Callous disregard, autism and vaccines, the truth behind a tragedy. Andrew J. Wakefield, forward by Jenny McCarthy. Excellent book. Now, you can cover whatever you want in the 30 minutes we've got left, but I'd like you first to go through their lies, go through the things they've done. The first one I threw out to you was, I remember reading, it's incredible, hoax, doctor exposed, and I read, in studies, he paid people for blood samples. And I'll go, well, wait, every research study I've heard of, or almost all of them, people are paid to be part of the research study. But then you went further. It turned out you didn't even do that. So, I mean, it's just, but they're playing on people's ignorance to even try that. So let's talk, doctor, specifically about the type of fraud you're talking about here.
Certainly, Alex. So one of the allegations that's been made and has been repeated in the media is that the Lancet study of 1998, those 12 children who had autism and bowel disease, that somehow I paid them to take part in the study. Nothing could be further from the truth. They were clinical patients seen at the Royal Free as part of the National Health Service, and they were investigated according to their symptoms. I paid them nothing at all. The truth is that as a later study, looking at blood measurements in a research setting, I asked my children if they would be prepared to give me a blood sample, and they said yes. And their friends at a birthday party also agreed. It was done with fully informed parental and child consent. Many of the parents were doctors. And so they allowed their children to have a blood sample taken. The kids were fine, and they got the equivalent of about $7.50 for their trouble. And that has been blown up into some kind of bloodbath that was, or that I had paid these patients to come to the Royal Free to be part of some litigation in order to bring down the vaccine manufacturers. Nothing could be further from the truth. Another allegation is, and this occurred yesterday on Good Morning America, is they put up a clip of a family who, according to my research, did not give their children the Haemophilus influenza B vaccine, the HIB vaccine. Now, I've never said a single word about the HIB vaccine. I've never mentioned the HIB vaccine. My work was related to the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. And now they're blaming me because parents have not given their children the HIB vaccine. I mean, that is the most contrived piece of journalism I have seen in a long, long while.
It's straw man. They don't attack Andrew J. Wakefield. They attack this made-up creature that they then tear apart for the world.
Yes, it reminds me of that Disney film, you know, Beauty and the Beast. I've seen Kill the Beast, Kill the Beast. This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent, to try and stop valid vaccine safety research taking place, is completely out of proportion and is not doing any service to the American people or indeed the children of the world.
Well, how much do Western vaccine makers make a year? I've seen numbers of $8, $10 billion. I mean, do you think they're going to let research doctors start actually showing the carnage that they've caused? Do you think they're going to let anyone get in the way of that business? I mean, look at the ads. Probably half the ads on network TV are drug companies who have their vaccine divisions. And so it's a complete conflict of interest for all of these networks that are savaging you. They're on the payroll.
Yeah, there is a big problem here. One is that they are allowed to advertise directly to the consumer. That doesn't occur in the UK, but giving the, you know, ask your doctor about this drug, getting it out there, they begin to own the broadcasting companies. They own the TV companies because they depend upon their advertising.
They even make up stuff like restless leg syndrome, which is now admitted to be a fraud. I mean, they just make things up and engage in pure quackery. And then you, a prestigious, you know, doctor doing research, you're the bad man. But they've got a problem. In fact, we can put this up on screen. London Telegraph, government tells doctors don't give flu shot after tenfold increase in fits, and then that means in England seizures. The next line says tenfold increase in seizures in under fives, and then they found, oh, it's boys particularly again. Something's happening with boys. They're having these seizures. Now, Australia came out and said, yeah, we had deaths because of this H1N1. That's their own government having to admit it and suspending it. Poland suspending it. They had deaths of the homeless 30 plus just in the test of a bird flu vaccine. I mean, something's going, and now the British Medical Journal, I had their head editor on, they found it was all a fraud in 09 pushing that shot. The Wolfgang Wudarg, who was the head of the EU Commission, doctor, he felt, so it seems like you are the sacrificial lamb because they're burning in flames right now. So again, if they can intimidate others by trying to smash you, they win. But it seems to be backfiring. But I mean, your comments on these flotillas of just news coming out. Oh, we gave a polio vaccine in Africa. Oh, in Asia. Oh, in Latin America. It was live. It killed people. Oh, the U.S. government secretly was shooting people up with syphilis. Oh, and I mean, you know, all this is coming out. So people are like, ooh, we don't trust you. And they say, no, it's all lies. This guy, Dr. Wakefield, he made it up. It's his fault. He did it. But that isn't reality.
No, it's not at all. And the problem is so serious and so prevalent that scientists cannot afford to roll over. Physicians cannot afford to roll over in the face of this kind of bullying tactic and not do the work in the interests of their patients. That would be absolutely unacceptable. And that is what I intend to continue doing. And I'm not going to go away. This work has to be done. And I think what we need is the medical profession, the scientific profession, to stand up and be counted in this respect. And it's interesting. I was recently at a vaccine safety conference in Jamaica, where experts from all over the world, France, Israel, the UK, the US, Canada, came together to express their mutual concerns about vaccine safety policy. The cost of the amount of money invested in vaccine promotion in this country compared with the amount of money spent on vaccine safety research is way out of proportion. Billions compared with a few million. And this is not my word. This is the word of the committee that recommends vaccination policy.
And they don't like doctors being doctors. They want to let the CEOs of the drug makers now engage in medical policy. That's what Obamacare does more and more, is it lets, you know, bureaucrats set policy and take power from the real experts, the doctors.
Yeah. So it's a vaccine safety first priority. Why would you not put safety first? If you're going to administer these vaccines to every child in the world, potentially, safety must be the priority. So Ralph Nader was not anti-car. He was for safer cars. I'm not anti-vaccine. I am for safer vaccines. And that has got to be the priority. Not profit, not bottom line, not policy, but putting the health of children first. There are nearly 30 million children in this country alone who have a chronic immune or inflammatory disorder, which when you and I were young didn't exist.
Well,
very, very rare.
Dr. Blaylock, who you know is a prestigious retired brain surgeon, he's done research and he sources all the other research, you know, quoting it on air when he's joined us. But he says, just looking at the brain, it's clear that the adjuvants, the aluminum, the mercury, the virus itself, or in other cases, the bacteria itself, is causing, because it's not going through the skin or the mucous membrane the way it's absorbed, it's causing an autoimmune inflammation. And he's saying it's in the guts, it's in other parts of the body, but it's also in the brain. And that's why so often the kids will have a seizure driving home after the shots. I mean, we know that this is going on and they just try to ignore it. But now that dam is breaking. I mean, what do you I understand you're being watched like a hawk. So you don't like to speculate in any way, but clearly what are the type of inflammations we're seeing that magically pop up after vaccination?
Well, there's the sort of thing that we're seeing are asthma, eczema, hay fever, insulin-dependent diabetes, autism, neurodevelopmental disorders. Are these linked to autism? To vaccines? We're not sure. But is there evidence that they may be? Yes, absolutely. There was one study, a very big study, 11,500 children out of the University of Manitoba, showing that if you just delayed the administration of the DPT vaccine, then you halve the risk of asthma. That's an extraordinary observation. You just delayed it by 2 months. You don't have to get rid of the vaccine.
Don't the Japanese, for like 10 years, make them wait to 2.5 to give shots?
I don't know, but if that's what they do, then that's, I believe, a very wise policy.
We'll continue with other studies, because I've interviewed like Dr. Eisenstein. He's reported there's hundreds of thousands of Amish in Illinois, and autism is unknown amongst them. I mean, is there any credibility to that in your research?
Well, yes, the fact that the Amish do not vaccinate, except in rare circumstances, and they don't appear to have autism. Now, has anyone done a study on that? No. Does it need to be done? Absolutely it does. We need to do a study that compares the long-term health outcomes of fully vaccinated children with those who are not vaccinated. That study has to be done. Parents have every right to expect
The vaccine makers fight that.
They have been fighting.
Wonder why.
But, you know, what's interesting is that they've said that all the science is in, there's no need to do any more, there is no link between, for example, thimerosal, the mercury preservative, and autism. Well, when this has been systematically analyzed and all the papers that are relevant, that generate data, that present data, have been looked at, 74% of those papers say, yes, there is a link, a positive link. So what people are being told and what is the truth is very, very different. And one more thing is that the vaccine courts in this country have been settling cases of vaccine-induced autism or autistic spectrum disorder since the early 90s. So you've got one branch of the government, the CDC, saying there's no problem at all, and then you've got the Department of Justice settling these cases. And I can give your readers and viewers, your listeners and viewers, some names to look up if they don't believe it. Hannah Poling, Bailey Banks, Misty Hyatt. And Mrs. Hyatt would be delighted to come on your program.
I want to get her on.
And she would talk about how her daughter was rendered autistic by an MMR vaccine and was awarded $5 million. Hannah Poling, just been given a lifetime award of $20 million for vaccines causing her autism.
So, well, I have friends who've had a, you know, happy 18-month-old running around talking, giggling, and then the kid's just gone. I mean, they might as well have been hit by a chemical weapon after that third round of shots. And it's almost everyone you talk to. I can be at a hotel on vacation. There's a family. You know, they're in the pool, the hot tub. They got three or four kids. One of them's autistic, sitting there, you know, nodding in the chair, you know, not having a good time. And I'll say, let me ask, when did your son... 18 months, third round of shots. He had a convulsion on the way home in the car. And then what I've read about is sometimes when they bring him back to the hospital, then they try to take your kid saying, oh, there's inflammation on the brain. You must have beaten them or something. I mean, that's even more incredible. It just makes my head spin.
Well, Alex, this is a very important point you just brought up, because I am now dealing with cases of Munchausen syndrome by proxy, where the children have been damaged, ostensibly, by a vaccine exposure until proven otherwise, and yet the parents are being blamed for the damage to the children. And more than that, parents are treating their children and reversing their autism to a greater or lesser extent, getting them better, so they lose their autism diagnosis. And then they're being told that they made up the diagnosis of autism in the first place. They were diagnosed by professional doctors. The parents are being told that they made up the diagnosis and that the children never had autism in the first place. And so this is one of the grossest injustices I've ever witnessed in my life. Your child is initially damaged and you have to suffer and grieve with that, and then suddenly you're blamed for causing it in the first place. It's absolutely staggering, and that kind of thing has got to stop.
I know you can't diagnose people over the radio, but in individual cases, obviously we can't conclusively prove what's causing it. It's kind of like if somebody walked out in the road and got run over by a Mack truck, and then you walk out and their body's smashed all over the side of the road. A car probably did this, but did we see it do it? No. And there's people out there saying, don't look at cars, don't, you know. So that's happening. But what do we know is reversing the intestinal problems? What is detoxing them? And what do those success stories point towards?
Well, good medicine starts with the history, the examination, and the clinical findings. So from my perspective, it was of gastrointestinal problems, which were confirmed to be of an inflammatory nature when we took little biopsies from the intestine. Now, we know a lot about treating inflammation from the years of treating Crohn's disease and colitis. So we had an opportunity here to intervene by treating these children with anti-inflammatories. So the mild anti-inflammatory drugs that were used in Crohn's work very well. These are aspirin-like drugs, but ones which heal the intestine. The diet has been extremely valuable. This is a gluten casein-free diet. And if there was one thing that I would recommend that parents start with, it would be the gluten casein-free diet. Now, people have said for years, oh, there's no evidence, that's just parents making it up, or it's dangerous. Actually, now there are randomized control clinical trials showing benefit. And if anyone wants to look that up, the name is Whiteley et al. Look up that paper and you will see a big study showing benefit from the diet. Take it to your doctor, show it to them, and use it as evidence-based medicine that the diet is certainly worth trying. So a gluten casein-free diet, and the value of that is that it's in the parents' hands. It doesn't involve giving a drug.
And hey, what's it going to lose trying it? I mean, why not try it?
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. It's something that the parents can be in control of, and it's something that we have seen produces dramatic benefit. It starts with better sleeping, better bowel function, better behavior, and children can progress and make great strides through that kind of approach.
Now, getting back to Crohn's, and again, I'm going from memory here, but I remember reading that going back 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was this disorder was almost unheard of or hadn't even really been invented, the name. And now I'm in grocery stores. I'm in restaurants. I've got a couple people that work here who are young. And I've read not just some of your research, but other research pointing towards that they find different antibodies connected to the vaccine in the intestines with the people that have Crohn's and Crohn's-like problems, that now moving into irritable bowel, that, you know, huge parts of the population. I mean, you're the expert on this. Tell us about that link.
Well, Crohn's is how I really got into this autism bowel link, because we had for years been looking at the possibility that Crohn's may be linked to the vaccines. Now, that remains a question. It's out there. The work has been, some has been for, some has been against.
But Crohn's is proliferating.
Crohn's is epidemic. Just like autism is epidemic now, the Crohn's epidemic started probably in the 1920s, 30s, 40s. It suddenly started escalating. But it wasn't heard of in children until the mid-60s. In the mid-60s, it appeared in children. I remember one of the first cases, in fact, a chap who's become a very good friend of mine, when he was 16, he developed Crohn's, and people used to come from all over the north of England to see him, because it was so unusual. Now we see Crohn's in children as young as 1 and 2 and 3. Now that is extraordinary. So what has happened? Like all of these other inflammatory and immune diseases, it's going through the roof. Why? We don't know the answer, but it certainly needs to be investigated. Something in the environment. Something in the environment must be doing this, because it's not genetics.
And if we have tens of thousands of anecdotal parents, kids having convulsions and basically being mildly to seriously, you know, brain damaged after they take shots, gee, you know, that, I mean, right there. And then you have all these other studies that I've had doctors on about not the guts, the brain. Separately talking about that, I mean, do we have any idea what's causing this inflammation in the brain? Blaylock says it's the adjuvants.
Yes, well, I think what my position is that there's some link between the bowel and the brain. What's happening in the bowel in many children is driving inflammation in the brain or changes within the brain. And that's entirely consistent with Dr. Blaylock's thinking that there is some kind of systemic inflammatory response that is driving a problem in the brain.
Well, he says that's what Alzheimer's is just that the brain is just inflamed chronically. And he says, you know, if people would just get off MSG and all the other things that are doing it, before it's too late, they could be all right. Alcohol and other things inflame it, but once it gets to that certain point, it's over.
Yes, it may be that it's you set up a sort of circular pathology, a circular disease that you can't get out of. Now, I don't think that that's true. I think that there are ways of interrupting it and getting people better.
Oh, no, he was saying that as long as it doesn't go too long. He just said at certain points, you know, there's so much brain damage from it, but he's the brain guy, you're the stomach guy, and I'm the country bumpkin. Doc, we're going to come right back on the other side and get more into this. This is such powerful information. And if you've got time, I want to get, because we had you on 5 minutes late, I want to go 5 minutes into the next hour. We're going a little bit into overdrive today with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. The book, of course, is Callous Disregard. It's available on the online video bookstore at Infowars.com and better bookstores everywhere. And what are some of the websites we should tell folks to visit? Because written here on my deal, it says callous-disregard.com. Is that the best place to go?
That's one place where the book is for sale and has sort of some backstory. Vaccinesafetyfirst.com has just gone up, where journalists can go and get brief soundbite information plus links to the various papers that we're talking about. So that's a good place to go. The National Vaccine Information Center website.
VaccineSafetyFirst.com. And then they can go there, and when they see Good Morning America saying there's no other studies and that he's a lie, you can see all the big studies and all the concern and all the news about it at VaccineSafetyFirst.com.
Correct.
All right. We've got about 4 minutes left here, and then 5 minutes the next segment. You've got the floor for other key points you want to cover, Doctor.
Well, I think one of the key things, Alex, is why do they have to go after me in the first place? Why do they have to try and stop the vaccine safety research that was taking place at the Royal Free Hospital in London? And what I discovered from a whistleblower, a senior government health official, in 1997, is that when England introduced the MMR vaccine at the end of the 1980s, they introduced a vaccine which was knowingly unsafe. In the same month that it was licensed in the UK, it was withdrawn in Canada for safety reasons. It was causing meningitis. And he was brought across from Canada to advise the UK government on whether they should introduce this vaccine or not. He said no. They went ahead and introduced it. It was cheaper. It was made by SmithKline Beecham, the local company. Were those the reasons? I don't know. But he advised them not to introduce it, and they did. And what happened was that 4 years later, it had to be withdrawn overnight because just as in England, just as in Canada, just as in Japan and Australia, it was causing meningitis. Children were damaged. And children were damaged at 100 times the rate that was predicted by their surveillance methods, which were inadequate. Now, why was that vaccine ever allowed onto the market? What did happen, and this will ring bells with you, is it changed its name. That's the only thing that changed from Canada to the UK. It went from Trivirix to Pluzarix. So why would you change the name of a product? Same vaccine, different name. It had to be withdrawn because it was causing damage. And he told me he knew that many, many children were injured by that vaccine. Will they ever be compensated? No. Will they ever be acknowledged? No. How did it come about? Because the vaccine manufacturer themselves expressed concern, according to him, about introducing the vaccine. They didn't want to do it because they were having problems in Canada. They had a liability. So the government gave them an indemnity. That's what it appears. The government gave them an indemnity, underwrote their liability.
Well, we have that here with the Vaccine Damage Fund in the U.S.
But there was no, as far as I can gather, there was no ministerial approval for this in the U.K.
What about the 2000 meeting that ABC News even covered in 2002, where you have the CDC meeting and the head of it's going, I'd never give a vaccine to my granddaughter. Well, this has damaged millions. We got to cover this up. I mean, those minutes got released by, who's the congressman whose grandson got autism? And then he basically stormed the CDC and got the documents?
Dan Burton.
Yeah, Burton. I mean, that's smoking gun right there.
Yeah, that was an extraordinary situation where they took data which showed there was a clear increased risk, and they cut those data down, they changed them after the fact to produce no risk at all. Now, if I had done that, if I had designed a study, got a result I didn't want, and then after the fact had chopped it and changed it and moved it around until I got no effect or got an effect, then I would be vilified, just as I've been vilified now. But because a government agency does it, then it's perfectly acceptable.
Well, your study's been replicated in spades. That's why they're coming after you.
That's correct. The bowel disease that we discovered originally has been confirmed by other people. Is there a link between the vaccine and the disease? That work is going on. It needs to be done. It's not going to stop. And the kind of study like the vaccinated, unvaccinated study, those are the sorts of things that need to be done to establish whether or not there is a causal association.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I've got children. I know there's science in vaccine technology and I would like to have vaccines that I could trust. But, I mean, the fact they have liability protection in this stream of carnage, you can't trust them. We'll be back in 60 seconds, fourth hour straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. Dr. Andrew Wakefield is our guest. We're almost out of time. Five more minutes left with him, and we're going into retransmission. Trying to quantify what these autoimmune responses are and all these countless other studies in other parts of the body, the pancreas, the liver, the brain. But we were trying to, during the break, to talk about what is this connection to the stomach, this highly volatile area of the autoimmune system, obviously the front line, and tying into the brain. And I think you quantified it excellent. Break that down.
Well, the brain, the intestine is really the first point of exposure to many, many toxins, bacteria, alcohol, any number of toxins. It's got to be working properly. It's also the biggest immune organ in the body. It's also got more neurons, more nerve cells in it than the brain. So it's a crucial interface between us and the environment. Now, people say, I don't understand this gut-brain link. Tell me how it works. Well, alcohol is a very good example. Alcohol is a neurotoxin. It poisons the brain. We take it through the gut. It has to get through the intestine, through the bloodstream, to the brain. So there's a very good example of how a gut-brain neurotoxicity can operate. And people then start to understand how that might take place, how that might be working. There is nothing conceptually difficult about what we're talking about. Does it happen in other diseases? Yes. Patients with celiac disease, an allergic sensitivity to wheat, they have a number of neurological problems, including dementia and seizures. But it all starts in the intestine. So that is a very, very fruitful area, not only to approach the mechanism of this disease, but also help treat children to get them better. So that has been my approach and will continue to be my approach to this.
So something toxic is being triggered in the gut, and neurologically, do we know what's going on in the brain? I mean, they can deny it's a vaccine, but what's happening to their brains?
We still don't know. We still don't know. We know that function is being altered. We know that growth of the brain and development of the brain are being altered. How is that happening? We don't know. And there are many people who've got some very, very good ideas about things called this excitotoxins causing inflammation and damage to the brain. But at this stage, we're still looking.
Yeah, that's what Blaylock goes over and all the other doctors he sources on this this inflammation. And wow, well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Any other tidbits that are important for parents and people out there?
Well, my final message is really to parents, and that is read. Please go and read. There are two sides to this debate. Read both sides of the debate. Go to the CDC's website. Go to the National Vaccine Information Center and other people's websites. Get the information. Find yourself a sympathetic doctor and talk them through your concerns about the vaccines. Ask to see the product inserts. Read the product inserts to see if there is, for example, the mercury preservative thimerosal in there.
Because they lied for years and said that they'd taken it out.
Well, they advised that it was taken out. There was no order saying this is a neurotoxin, it should not be in there, take it out. But at the same time that they took it out or advised that it should be taken out, they put it back in the influenza vaccine.
So that four times what it had been.
That's right. So pregnant mothers and young children getting the influenza vaccine containing mercury. So you're taking it out on the one hand and putting it back in the other. That makes no sense.
And then they say, well, you get the same amount in a sandwich, a tuna sandwich, but talking to endocrinologists, people that toxicologists, they explain this is injected directly into the blood, not going through the stomach that's designed to filter some of that out. And it's not like mercury in fish that's biologically bound is the way it's explained to me. So it's much different, especially when it's connected to the pathogen, which then supercharges it.
Yeah, I think that's right. If people are saying that, and they are saying that, that it's not no worse than having a tuna sandwich, that is grossly misleading. And that's only either being said through ignorance about mercury metabolism, or it's deliberately deceptive. And that's most unfortunate. So my final message is for the authorities, because what you are doing is compromising public confidence in vaccine safety policy across the board. And unless you address parental issues, unless you address their concerns, and it's 89% of American parents that we're talking about, then you are going to a trite vaccine uptake across the board, and there are going to be problems. And at the end of the day, it will be you, that is the authorities, who are responsible for it.
Dr. Wakefield, powerful interview. Look forward to having you back soon. Hopefully you can get Jenny McCarthy on the show. I've heard she's a listener from some of her friends, but that's yet to be seen. Wow, they're trying to crucify it, but I believe they're failing. They're trying to scare other researchers away from this info. We appreciate your courage, Dr. Great having you.
Thank you very much.
Great job, crew.